You are listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. A new bill working its way through the Idaho legislature would let homeowners get rid of discriminatory and racist language on their housing deeds. Now, despite the fact that these race-based covenants have been illegal for decades, they still pop up in older documents, usually when someone is buying a house. So with us today to talk about the bill and the history behind it is Idaho Press reporter Alexandra Duggan. I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So Boise Senator Melissa Wintrow brought this bill. Can you tell us why?
Yeah. So originally, a constituent brought this to her attention when he found the language in his housing deed that he bought the house. He bought the house on Warm Springs, and he found the language in the housing deed. And he brought that to her attention where she decided that she had to do something about the actions that were committed in the past and make those right and fix the deed and the language in the deed.
So I want to talk a little bit more about that, because as you mentioned, someone brought this to her attention. In fact, it was a homeowner from the Warm Springs Mesa area in Boise, and he actually testified at a hearing on the bill. And we actually have some sound of what he said. But before we get to the sound, Alex, can you talk about Edward Lubinsky and what happened when he was actually trying to buy his home?
Yeah. So he said in committee he didn't have access to the full property record until the full property record that on the bid that his home that he and his wife Cynthia were trying to purchase was accepted. So they had to wait a little while, and then once they found the bid, they were flipping through the pages and the sections, and one of the sections talked about people who are non-white buying a house. So
let's take a listen to some of what he said. And I do want to give our listeners a quick note. You could find some of this language rather shocking and frankly offensive.
The Boise real estate market was very competitive, and we had to act quickly. Our daughter was 3 years old, and this was the biggest decision of our lives. Cynthia and I didn't have access to the full property record until after the bid was accepted and before the contingency needed to be signed. I remember the experience vividly. I had just read the section on external structures in my CC&R, and I thought I might need to get clarification about that location of the shed on the property. And then I read the following. Section 23, no part of the real property or any building site or structure shall at any time be sold, conveyed, rented, or leased in whole or in part to any persons or persons not of the white or Caucasian race. No person other than one of the white or Caucasian race shall be permitted to occupy any property in said subdivision or portion thereof or any building thereon, except a domestic employee actually employed by a person of the white or Caucasian race, where the latter is an occupant of such property. I quickly found Cynthia downstairs with our daughter and read her this section. And without taking a single breath, she turned to me and said, "We cannot buy this home." It was the night before signing the contingency. Of course, I spent several subsequent hours researching this provision and learned that it was void and unenforceable. But the initial impact of the language was clear and unavoidable, and has shaped our perception of the home and the area. We signed the contingency that night, but we knew our involvement wouldn't end. If possible, we would find a way to deal with this issue and continue to advocate for a community that reflects our values and is welcoming to everyone.
So Alex, you can hear the emotion in Edward's voice in that testimony. It sounds like he wanted not to just make a change for his home, but for anyone else who would find this kind of language on their deeds. And we should note, this goes back to this whole concept that was implemented, which is called redlining.
Yeah, so the term redlining, it came from the federal government way back when, and when the Homeowners Loan Corporation and the Federal Housing Administration were handing out maps essentially of areas in the country where people could buy houses, and those maps were color coded. So essentially what happened was the red color in the map showed people that they should not buy a house, or excuse me, showed white people that they should not buy a house in these areas because they were Black owned neighborhoods, or they were anywhere where essentially African Americans lived in that area. White people were like warned essentially to not buy houses there. And so those language was adopted in the housing deed, where I guess white people were safe to buy houses. So you see it in old houses in the Boise area, like Warm Springs, the North End, areas like that.
Yeah, we should note that this practice has been illegal since 1968 with the Fair Housing Act. With that said, though, a deed goes from homeowner to homeowner to homeowner. So if this bill passes, what will happen? And I guess where are we with the bill?
Yeah, so I actually was looking into that today. I wanted to give you an update, but they were going to get to it today. The Senate was on its third reading today, but the bill was held, and it's going to be held till tomorrow due to, I guess, lack of timing. But if it passes the Senate, it'll go to the House. The House will debate upon it. And if that passes the House, it'll go to the governor for a signature. So that's where the bill is lying right now.
And if it does pass, then people would be able to take that language out without any cost. I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. We've been talking with Idaho Press reporter Alexander Duggan about a new bill that targets race-based restrictive covenants. Thanks so much for the reporting, Alexandra.
Thank you.
We'll have more Idaho Matters next.